So we are holding on Kuf Mem Zayin and with Aleph, three lines from the bottom. So actually, we're still in the bit of, we have a few more lines of discussion about the weather. We mentioned about the weather on Shavuos, which was part of Achitofel's thing. That led us into a discussion about which winds, what the various winds do in Eretz Yisrael versus in Bavel. So now a little more. We talked about the winds in various places. Yeah, we went on check. In fact, when we talked about what side of the city you can have a cannery or whatever on, we talked about the fact that it's then on
the
also
in there. Also in
yeah, we talked about it a few times.
So why do we re-mention it?
So because in each place, they're mentioning it in a different context. Okay, so Tanya, we learn in a place, the Abba Shoal learner, Yom Tov Shal Atzeres Borer, if Yom Tov of Shavuot is clear weather, Simen Yachal Achol HaShana Kolo, then it's a good Simen for the entire year. It means the entire year will be a Gebenshta year. Omer of Zid, Hay Yom HaKam, the Barashah is mainly in Eretz Yisrael, I guess, I don't know. Omer of Zid, Hay Yom HaKam Adere Shata, another thing about the weather. The first day of the beginning of the year, meaning the first day of Rosh Hashanah, if it's warm, then the whole year is going to be a warm, or most of the year is going to be a warm or hot year. And if it's cold, then most of the year is going to be cold. The Gemara is talking about it in terms of weather. I mean, obviously, it also has an implication in Avodah. That if your Rosh Hashanah is a warm Rosh Hashanah, then it bodes well for the rest of the year, and vice versa. Lamai Nakamina, what's the relevance of knowing?
So, wait a minute, you're saying now Rosh Hashanah and.
So, we're saying there's two different things. Shavuot is clear weather, and we're saying a separate thing. If you want to know what the weather is going to be like most of the year, you look what the weather is like on Rosh Hashanah. It's two different things. One is talking about whether it's a good simon for the year. It's a good simon for the year. Not a good simon as far as the weather. A good simon, the pastor said it'll be a good year. As opposed to a different one about what kind of weather. So why is it relevant to know whether most of the year is going to be warm or cold? The relevance is the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. As far as the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, he used to say a tefillah when it came out of the Kodesh Kodashim. We say it in the Seder HaAvodah Yom Kippur, that among them he would daven for various basic things that the Jewish people need. One of them was, he would say, Im Shchona G'shuma, if this year is destined to be a hot year, then let it also be a rainy year to offset the hotness and dryness. So depending on what he saw, what the weather was like on Rosh Hashanah, he'll know whether to daven, whether what the appropriate thing is to daven. If on Rosh Hashanah it was warm, then he's going to realize that most of the year is going to be warm, and then he should be davening that it should be rainy as well. Tosef says slightly differently, that if it was a hot Rosh Hashanah, he should daven that the rest of the year shouldn't be overly hot, and if it was cold, that it shouldn't be overly cold. Okay. Now off the topic of weather and back.
If the weather was good.
And if the weather was good. Then now, getting back to, we digressed into this because we got into the topic of where do we know the concept of Matnas Shchivra, the fact that the Shchivra says something, then it goes even without a kinyan, without it being written, without nothing. So we said yesterday, we started saying that we had Rav and we had Rav Nachman saying that it is, that referring to various psukim, which we discussed yesterday, doesn't mean they really hold it's Daraisa, or do they just hold the Rabbanon, but these are Asmachim. So now, continuing on that topic, the Rava Omer of Nachman, Matnas Shchivra Midrabbanon Ba'almi. No, Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, the concept of Matnas Shchivra is only Drabbanon. And the reason is Shemati Toref Daite Olo, because his mind might be confused. What does that mean? The Rashbam gives two explanations. The first explanation, he says, is that but like this, you're going to need Adim, you're going to need people to write a shtar or whatever. By the time you get back with all those things, he may have become so much sicker that now his mind will be confused and he won't be able to give over what he wanted to give over. So like this, the Chachamim said this way the first time he says it, take that. But Rashbam said he doesn't really like that explanation because, okay, then fine. What do you need to make a takana for? Fine. If they didn't have the Adim and whatnot, okay, so then in that case, what he said doesn't go, that's it. So therefore, the Rashbam proposed the second explanation, which is the Shivra himself is going to feel bad, and it may affect his mental stability, and that he's going to know, I said that I want my nechassim, I want the disposition of my nechassim to be such and such, and that's not going to happen. So because you need the Adim or you need the Kenyan or whatever. So like this, the Chachamim made it so that he can die with a clear conscience. So that he's able to die.
Well, he might recover, I was thinking.
Well, that's a different thing. That's the concept.
If you stress him out, then he won't recover.
That may be also, yeah.
You give him a better chance to recover.
That could also be, okay. Yeah. I saw, by the way, a verse that a verse from Abzaman Sarotkin. He says, "You see, from this, the koyach of the desire that a person has for money, that even like this, the guy's already 1 foot in the grave, and what's he going to be worried about? That his disposition of his money is not going to go the way he wanted."
Yeah, he can't even keep it.
Nothing to do with money. No, caring what other people.
But it's still money.
Yeah, but it's still what's going to happen with his nechassim. Not necessarily his children. I mean, he could be giving. No, because if it's just his children, then it's plain old Yerusha. No, the reason why he's doing Matna Shrimra is to take care of other people that he wants to give to.
And that's not important.
Not saying that it's not important, but the point is, you would think, on the face of it, you would think a person with 1 foot in the grave has more important things on his mind. But no, we see from the Gemara over here that the Chachamim knew, human psychology, that is a very important thing to a person, even in his last moments. Okay. So the question is, did Rav Nachman really say that the concept of tzavat shchimra is only drabba? Well, Amar Rav Nachman, don't we also find that Rav Nachman said, afagav de Amar Shmuel, even though it is true that Shmuel said, and we've learned this concept before, hamoicha shtar chayv l'chaveri, if one person sells a shtar chayv to somebody else, so Reuven has a shtar chayv that Shimon owes him money, Reuven turns around and sells the shtar chayv to Levi, later on, Reuven goes and is moichel the chayv. Mochel is considered a valid mechila, and therefore Levi now can't collect on it. We've talked before, and over here also, the Rashbam and Tosfos and many other Mephoshim talk about various angles why that should be exactly. Is it because the whole concept of selling a shtar is only drabanan, or is it because the money itself is not the ein, and therefore it's in that sense sort of like a davar shalei bala olam? Or is it because it creates a shibud on the person, and you can't really transfer the shibud from one person to another? Whatever, there's all those various reasons. The point is that din applies. If Reuven is moichel the shtar chayv, then it is a valid mechila, and Levi is not going to be able to collect with it.
So do you have any recourse, by the way?
No. So the Rashbam says that yes, Reuven would be chayev on the grounds of dinah d'garim, because he calls the law. Because he calls a loss for Levi, so he will be required to reimburse Levi for it. It's the equivalent that Rashbam says of burning somebody else's shtar.
Right.
Right. But nevertheless, though, the point is that Rashbam takes the view that what it is Reuven can only sell Levi any schus that he himself has. Well, since Reuven himself could be moichelit, and therefore when he sells it to Levi, Reuven still retains the right to be moichelit. Okay. Anyway, the point is that. And the din is that even the Yorush, even if Levi over here is not a third party to whom Reuven sold the shtar, but rather he is the son of Reuven, he also has the ability to be moichel the shtar. However, However, Shmuel does agree that if it was given as a matnas shchimra, which would be the kind where it's irrevocable, which means either where it was all his nechassim and he didn't recover, or the kind where it was mixtus, like we said in the Mishnah, and he made a kinyan. Or even the Rashbam says maybe even you don't need a kinyan. He gave it to him while he was alive. That itself constitutes the kinyan. So he is not able, the one who got it as the matnas shchimra is not able to be moichel. Even though, in other words, again, usually Reuven would be able to be moichel the shtar which he sold to Levi. However, if the situation is that not Reuven sold it to Levi, but rather he gave it as a matnas shchimra to Levi, then there's no possibility of being moichel anymore. The recipient can't be moichel.
So.
Yeah, because it's still a valid loan, in other words, yeah.
So the shtar
is still valid.
You can go to Beit Din and claim
so that's the thing. The shtar is still valid, right. So the point is like this. If you say that the concept of matnas shchimra is something daraisa, fine. That explains why you can't be moichelit, because something daraisa is strong enough that he gave it at the matnas shchimra. You don't have the ability to undo that by being to be able to be moichelit. It's stronger even than a regular case of matano or mechira or whatever, especially according to the opinion that selling shtaris is a concept only derabbanan anyway.
Including shchimra.
Well, if we argue that matnas shchimra is daraisa, then we can understand why you're not able to be moichel. Eli amit d'rabbanan hi. But if you're going to say that the whole concept of matnas shchimra is only d'rabbanan, am I in yochel limtol? Why shouldn't he be able to be moichel? It shouldn't be any stronger than any regular case of Salah Shtar. The answer is no, because there's no contradiction in what Rav Nachman is saying, this that he said before, that it's Rabbanan, but on the other hand, he's saying this din, he's saying what Shmuel would say in this case, because Eina Shaltar of Asura Kashaltar. It is true, Matnas Shemina is, like Rav Nachman says, is not Minatorah, it's only Midrabbanan. However, Vasa'ur Kashaltar, but the Chachamim made it as strong as if it was something Minatorah, for the reason that we said before, Shalita Torah of Dijer. We don't want in the sense, therefore. So therefore, they made it that even though normally when a shtar is transferred from one person to another, the original owner of the shtar is able to be merchal. Here, you're not. Here, you're not able to be merchal. The Chachamim made it. The Chachamim made it stronger that the Chachamim made it stronger that you that you're not able to do that. They made it as strong as if it was something that's already. Yet. And in a way, even stronger, actually, because we said that if somebody yarshin it, he's still able to be moichel it. That we're saying that here now. Okay. So anyway, the point is, there's no contradiction in what Rav Nachman is saying. It is d'rabbanan, but it's a very strong d'rabbanan. Okay. Another din. Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman. Shchiv mina she'omer yodu pleni b'bayis there. What if a shchiv mina says so and so should be able to live in this house, or yoichel pleni peiris dekel there, or pleni should be able to eat the fruit of this palm tree? What he said doesn't count for anything. So why is that? There's a few different approaches. The Rashbam says that when he says yidra plani b'bayis zeh, the dira, the ability to live in the house, is not something tangible. So it's not something that you can be machne. It would be like machne words or something. So you can't be machne something intangible. And the fruit of the palm tree, it's a davar shelo bol olam. So therefore, it doesn't work. There's a couple of different other approaches among the Rishonim. The Rambam says that both of them are that both of them are something intangible. The dira, like the Rashbam said, is something intangible. The ability to live in a house is an intangible thing. When he says yoichol pleni peiros dekel, there effectively, what are you trying to do? You're trying to be makna him the ability to eat the peiros dekel. That's also something intangible. So therefore, you can't be makna that.
How does the Rashbam refer to intangible words?
He says ein b'mamish. Shadira ein b'mamish laknozi. And as far as so the Rashbam says there are two different things. One is Ein by Mamish and one is Davar Shelo Bol Olam. The Rambam says they're both Ein by Mamish, and there are other Rishonim who say that they're both Loi Bol Olam, because the Dira itself exists, but the living in it doesn't yet. Okay. On the other hand, Ad Sheyoma Tnu Bayis Zeh LePlani V'Yodru Boy. When is it good if he says give this house to Plani that he should live in it, because the house exists? So now what you're telling him, in effect, is you're giving him the house for the Paris only. You're not giving him Kinyan Aguf, you're giving him Kinyan Paris, but that's fine. Kinyan Paris works, as we know. Or Tnu Dekel Zela Ploini V'Yechel Paris. Well, similarly, he says, give this Dekel to Ploini and let him eat the fruit. So again, the Dekel is something that exists, but you're telling him not give it to him outright that he has it for all purposes. He only has it insofar as he can eat the food. But fine, that's a Dovah Shalabala. That's a Dovah Shalabala. That's something that exists. The Dekel is something that exists now. That's valid.
Does he have to mention? He has to mention.
He has to say that. He has to say that give this house to Pliny that he should live in it, or give this Dekel to Pliny that he should eat the pears.
And if he doesn't say that,
that's what he said. Then he's trying to be makna something intangible or something Shalabala. The question is, Lememra de Savar of Nachman, in that case, does that mean that Rav Nachman holds Milta de Isib Bori Isib Shrivra? In that case, the implication is that Rav Nachman seems to say only something that would be valid that would exist by a body. In other words, never mind a Shrivra. If a body were to say the same thing, let Pliny live in this house, that also would work for the same reason. It's something intangible. But if he says give him the house to live in it, then it works because the house is something that exists. It sounds like Rav Nachman is saying, therefore, only if something can be done by a bari, then a shchiv mera is able to accomplish the same thing, except the difference is that with a bari you would need a kinyan, and with a shchiv mera you don't. Most of the less of a bari, less of a shchiv mera. And evidently he's saying something that cannot be accomplished by a bari, such as that yodra plenty of a bias there, less of a shchiv mera. That apparently doesn't work by a shchiv mera either. The problem with that is I can find an example of something that does not exist by a bari, that does not work by a bari. It does work, according to Rav Nachman says, it does work by a shchiv mera. So you see that Rav Nachman seems to say, in at least one other case, that a shchiv mera has a stronger power, not just as far as how it gets accomplished with or without a kinyan, but as far as what, as far as a type of thing that he's able to be machna that a bari would not. Namely, Va'amar Rava Amar Abachman. Didn't Rava say in the name of Abachman? Shchiv Menach Amar Tznu Hava Asi L'Pliny. If a Shchiv Menach says, give my loan, meaning there's a loan that Pliny owes me, and we're talking, the Rashbam says, we're talking a Milval Peh, so there's no Shtar to give over, because there's a Shtar to give over, that was what we talked about before. So here it's a Milval Peh. So he says, Pliny owes me money. I want to transfer that Hava to the ownership of Pliny. Halva also to Pliny. Very well. The halva goes to Pliny. Now, the alpha gab the lesser the body. Even though such a thing does not work by a body, because the money doesn't actually exist right. The money doesn't actually exist right now. Milvalahit saw nitna. Even if you just lent it to him earlier that day, the money is already considered as if it's spent. It's not considered as if it's bain anymore. So the only way would be either if you gave him a shtar, if it was a shtar, or maimat shloshtim, as we talked about the other day. Here, where you have all three parties involved, the loiva, the malva, and the party that you're transferring the chayv to. Here, you don't seem to have either one, and yet we say, and yet Rav Nachman is saying that it works by a shchiv menah. So again, therefore, you see a shchiv menah is able to accomplish something that a body wouldn't be able to accomplish. Why should it be any different by yoicha pliny peiros dekel there? Okay, I mean, the Tosfos points out, I mean, there still is a way to be machne agav karka, at least according to some opinions, but okay, here we're not doing any of that. He was just saying it verbally, and it seems to be enough. You can be machne and karka with kesef, for example, and then you can be machne and mechoyv agav that, but okay. So, Rapapa says, the reason is because hoyo v'yorosh yosha. The difference is because when it comes to a milva, suppose there was no matnas shchiv merah involved over here. Suppose it was just a yorish is yarshining it in the regular way. He would be able to yarshin it. And we're going to learn later on, we'll talk tomorrow about the Shem, that the Chachamim, it is Roy, that is true. So a Bechor won't get a double portion of it, but a yorish will still yarshin it, yeah. And we're going to say later on in the sugya tomorrow that the basically what Chachamim did is they made a matnas shchiv merah to have the power of a yerusha. So therefore, just as a yerusha is able to yarshin a chayv, so also a matnas shchiv merah works with it. So it's true. There you have an exception that a shchiv merah is able to accomplish something a body couldn't. But only because if there was no matana involved over here, then a yodish would yarshin anyway. As opposed to a yodish doesn't yarshin the ability. You don't say that somebody else is yarshining the ability to live in a house. He yarshins the house, and therefore he has the ability to live in it. So therefore, so those are two different things. Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika. Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika says a different answer. Halva is the body. The difference is that, as a matter of fact, yes, you do have a way of transferring a halva even from a body. Verbally, namely, v'chidr Rav Huna Amar Rav, as Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, manali biyadcha tineu l'pliny. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a money, give it to Pliny, the maimad shloshtan, and it's in the presence of all three of them, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all there, kana, then he is kana. So we see that even a body is able to transfer a loan if he does it verbally. You need maimat shloshtan, fine. So in the case of the shchiv merah, we're not making him do maimat shloshtan, but still you have the concept that it's able to be done verbally without writing, without a kinyan, without any such thing. So again, that's different than tznu bais, that's different again than yudu pliny b'bais there, where there's no basis for such a thing at all, not by a body and therefore also not by a shchiv merah. The Tzoyis HaChoshen, by the way, talks about the interesting question, is there any nachkamina between these two answers? And he discusses there may well be, because between his two answers in the Gemara, one that was saying that a shchiv merah is able to transfer his alva on the basis of that a yodosh would be able to yashin it, and the other one that it works in a similar way to maimat shloshtan. For example, the Tzoyis talks about, let's say, for example, the recipient of the matnas shchiv merah passes away before the shchiv merah does, to his yodosh and yashin it. If you say that it works on the basis of Yerusha, the shchiv merah said, I want this loan that Shimon owes me, I want it to be transferred to Levi. We're saying fine, because in the shchiv merah we don't need maimon shlosha. What happens if Levi passed away before Reuven, the shchiv merah does? Oh. If you say it's the tzad Yerusha, sure, then Levi's heirs can yashin it, because it's considered as if he already is. If it's considered a Yerusha, then not, because a Yerusha only takes effect when Reuven dies. Levi died while Reuven was alive, therefore it never happened in the first place. As opposed to, you say, Maimet Shloshton, if you say it's similar to Maimet Shloshton, fine, Levi was koneed immediately. When he dies, even before Reuven, sure, then it goes to his Yoshin. That's one nafkaminity. So there's a couple of other nafkaminas that the Achronim talk about between the two answers.
That won't be very happy for the maybe. What's the halacha?
The halacha is that the Shchiv Merah can indeed say it's Tznuah V'Asu L'Ploni, and it works. But whether it will, so is it considered Mitzad Ma? I don't think in Shulchan Aruch it makes it clear one way or the other. I mean, you have the two reasons that the Gemara gives. We don't really have any way of reconciling.
So
I don't know. It would be a suffix. Okay. Now we have a question as follows. What if you said, I want to give the palm tree to one person and the fruit of it to somebody else? Now, what is the scenario we're talking about over here? So, the Rashbam starts saying that some people want to explain that we're talking about Poshita case, you're selling your body, you're selling your palm tree to one person, you want to be Mishayah, you want to keep over and sell to somebody else the payrus of it. And that's what the situation is talking about over here. The Rashbam says, I don't like that explanation, because then what's that doing in our parak over here? 60 blocks ago, we learned about the dinim of selling trees and selling payrus and all back in the sixth parak. So why all of a sudden would we be schlepping it in over here? So the Rashbam says that actually we are talking about a shchimra. It's a continuation of the topic of the shchimra over here. But it's not a direct continuation, says the Rashbam, of what we've been talking about before. Rather, it's going back to the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Shchiv Merah gives away all his property, but he keeps some of it for himself, then we said, Im Amad Eini Chozer, then even if he recovers, he doesn't get it back, because the fact that he kept some for himself shows he wasn't doing it as a regular Matnas Shchiv Merah. He wasn't doing it as Machnas Nisa, because he expects to die from this illness, because then he wouldn't have kept himself anything. He's not going to be able to take it with him. If he gave everything, we say that im omad chozer, if he recovers, it's implied, we said right away in the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, we said that we go basa umdana, we follow the umdanda, we evaluate that why would he have been given away all of the chosin, must be because he expected to die. Well, therefore, if he doesn't, he's entitled to all of it back. But we said if he gave away, if he left over some of it for himself, then it's considered a real full-fledged matana. So
we don't get it.
And therefore he doesn't get it back. So the Rashbam says, our question and our Gemara then is referring back to that concept. So now, if he gave away a palm tree, let's say, but he kept for himself the payrus, is that considered, or even not to somebody else, but he gave the decal to one person. Later on he changed his mind and decided, you know what, actually I want to subtract from that the payrus and give that to somebody else. Is that considered, therefore, that he gave a matana with a shiur, with something left over? And therefore, it would be a valid matana even if he recovers.
Giving somebody
else, not himself, so how does that play? Because he changed his mind. We're going to learn on Amud Beis that there's a difference whether he gives out the matanas one after the other, or whether he gives one and then like thinks it over and you know what? Actually, let me give this to somebody else. Then you can say that. Then you can say that if he gives them one after the other continuously, then it's all one matana. But if he first gives one, and then Nimlach, he thinks it over, and then gives to another one, then it's a Parsha Matana. So here it would be a similar kind of thing. That's how the Rashbam
works. Regardless, it has to be done.
No, not necessarily the text different, but at least we can see that it's one after the other, as opposed to like thinking it over in between. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos says, on the other hand, you have the other problem. We haven't yet gotten to that whole discussion about Imshi or Kafka culture. That's going to be later on. Kufnun test, Kufnun. So then in that case, the Rashbam's problem is according to the first explanation that he brought in the Gemara, 60 blot too late. According to the Rashbam, it's a blot too early. Yeah, but still.
Shall we rewrite the Gemara?
No. So, okay. Tosfos says also, you Rashbam seem to be implying that only if he left himself over Karka is there a difference. But we see later on in the Gemara, we're going to see that even if he left over himself in Falkland, the same din would apply. So why would we be discussing over here? So therefore, Tosfos says that no. We're referring back to the last piece that we had, this case of Yoichov Ploini Peiris Dekels there. We said that doesn't work, but if he says, I want to give the Dekel to Ploini to force Peiris, then that works, because he's giving him a Kenyan Peiris on it. So therefore, the question now is, If he says, I'm giving the decal to one person and I'm giving the payrus to the other one, do we say that the payrus, it doesn't work as a separate matana of the payrus because the davar shaloi b'olam, or does it mean that, or does it mean that he gave he's giving the body of the tree to the first person, he's giving the second person the places on the branches where the fruit is going to grow, which is a davar shaloi. So in that case, that would be a continuation of that. The branches exist. So exactly. So that would be it. Okay, so that's Tosfos explanation. Then you have a third explanation, which is a Rambam, and there are a number of other Rishonim, that in fact it is, like what Rashbam said at first, it is talking about the regular case where a body is selling a tree and selling the pear. It's true, it doesn't really belong in our perek, it really belongs in a previous perek, but because it's similar to the case of Yehoch Pliny, of Dekel, of Zeller Pliny, the Yehoch Pliny, so therefore we bring it over here, as the Gemara does sometimes, that it brings in a not totally related thing just because there's a certain similarity between one statement and the other. So in fact, the Rambam doesn't bring this halacha in Hilchas Chiyo Latana, where it talks about the Dinim of Hilchas Nachlas, where it talks about the Dinim of Matnas Shlimana. He brings it in Hilchas Mechira, by the regular Dinim of buying and selling, and that's where it's brought in Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay. So, the question is like this. Dekel le'echo de peiros of lacha. If you said, I'm giving the palm tree to one person and the peiros to the other, to somebody else, Mahu, what would be the din? Mishir Mokam Peri, do we say that he left over the space of the Peris? Or is it considered he didn't leave it over? So according to the Rashbam, the question is it a matana which will be irrevocable even if he recovers? According to Tosfos, the question is the matana of the Peris something valid, or is it a davar shaloi b'olam? And according to the Rambam, similarly, it's also, is it, but it's not talking specifically about a shkid merah, but in general, the case where a person says, where a body says, I'm selling this tree to one person and pay this to another, just such a thing.
That's assuming the parrots are not on the tree.
Yeah, of course. We're talking about it for payers.
But
they're not if they didn't start growing yet. Okay. Im tim salaim ala achalai havi shir, so you might answer, yes, if you're selling the tree to one person and the payers to somebody else, so you yourself are not keeping any of it, you could argue that's not considered a shir. You are giving it all away, you're selling it all, therefore, yes, it can be considered each of them is, you can say, therefore, that nothing's been left over. So according to the Rashbam, it is a regular matlas shimra, it's revocable if he recovers, according to Tosfos and according to the Rambam, meaning, in other words, that the matana of the payrus won't be considered a valid matana because there's nothing left over to give to him once you gave the first person the deck over, and that's it. Fine. Then in that case, you could ask, well, Asma chutz miperoi sebahu. What if he said, I'm leaving for myself the payrus? Does it mean maybe because it's him himself, therefore he taka means to reserve for himself spots on the tree, the branches, where the payrus will grow, which implies, therefore, that if the tree dries up, the branches will belong to him, and therefore, when they chop it down for firewood, the other guy's going to get only the trunk of the tree, and he's going to be entitled to the branches, or maybe not. The Rashbam brings a bit of a discussion over here about various possible gersois in the Gemara over here. What if he said again that he's saying the deco goes to one person, the payrus goes to the other. The question is rather like there's la'atma and then there's chutz mikperos. La'atma would be what we just said. He said deco la'echad and the payrus to myself. Another case would be what if he specifically said chutz mikperos. I'm selling this tree except for its fruit. So then even if he sells the fruit to somebody else, you could argue maybe that's stronger. The fact that he specifically said chutz miperoisav implies he's leaving something out of the original sale or the original gift. Or maybe not, again, because the payrus don't exist, and maybe it can't be considered, yeah. Well, Omar Rava Omar Rav Nachman. So Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, Im tim saloima dekel la'echad aperoisav la'acha loy habishir. If you're going to say on the first question that yes, selling the palm tree to one and the payrus to the other, then the makom payrus is not considered a shir, that it's not considered, you haven't left anything valid over, and therefore you can't say. Again, according to the Rashbam's explanation, it means, in other words, you can't say anything's been left over, it's still considered you gave away all your nechasim, because by giving away the tree, automatically that included the makom payrus, because the payrus themselves are davar shaloi b'olam. Unless you specify, unless you say chutz miperoisav, that's what we're going to get to. But if you just said dekel echad peroyz alacher, we would consider it a that the once you said dekel echad, immediately that's considered a full matnas shchiv merah in the regular kind, that if he amar choizer, that if he recovers, he can retract it. If you're going to say that, nevertheless, dekel echad v'shia peroyz alafanev, but you can answer the second question that yes, if you sold gave the palm tree to one person and left over the peroyz for yourself, yes, shia mekayim peroyz. Yes, you did. It is considered that you kept for yourself the space of the peroyz. So according to the Rashbam, that would mean, in other words, that you have now a matana that is irrevocable. You're keeping the peiros, you're keeping the space, the branches where the peiros are going to grow. You're keeping it for yourself. So it has a number of implications. Again, according to the Rashbam that we're talking about matana shchivra, it means that it's an irrevocable matana because you kept something for yourself. According to Tosfos, it means that in the case before dekel zelapoini v'yechal peiros, fine, it means the other guy has only the dekel, but he's not actually eating the peiros because you're eating the peiros. And according to the Rambam, you're just saying that, in other words, you're saying yes, you kept for yourself the branches and the peiros when you sell the when you sell the dekel, and therefore the other guy is only entitled to the trunk. My timer. Now, why is that? Kola gabi nafshi buying up the Mashiach, because when it comes to himself, he's surely going to leave it to himself generously. When he's selling the dekel to one and the peiros to another, you can argue maybe he doesn't really mean that the second person should actually end up getting the peiros. You can argue that by saying dekel to the first one means that's it. There's a whole thing goes to the first one. But for himself, surely he meant to keep the mokum peiros for himself. Amalei Rav Abba Rav Ashi. However, then Rav Abba tells Rav Ashi, you're saying that this concept that a person for himself goes by Ayin Yafa, you're saying that that refers to this case over here, dekel echad the peiros of lacha. Or dekalecha, or peroisav, to keep for himself. Anan, but we, in our yeshiva, adrab shimlin lakishmas minimum, we learned this concept of whether you're mashayer it or not, and the idea that when for yourself, you're mashayer b'ayin yofer, we learned that in a different context, in the context of a din that Rish Lakish said, that Rab Shimlin Lakish said. Da'amar Rab Shimlin Lakish, if one person sells a house to somebody else, and he says to him, I'm selling you this house on condition that the top floor is mine. Actually, the Rashbam says doesn't even mean the top floor. That would be called the aliyah. The diyuta helyona actually means what's on top of the roof of the house. So like the roof itself. Flat roof, it's a flat, flat fence roof that's able to be used, or maybe like a penthouse or something that's on top there. Anyway, then fine. Yotel Yomishavoy, okay, then sure, the top floor. Yeah, he says Yotel Yomishavoy. Then the din is, yeah, Yotel Yomishavoy, yeah, and the top floor, the top space or whatever belongs to him. But now, Iboyel, who now comes from Abba saying in that connection is where we ask these similar questions to the deco on the Paris. What would be the din if you're saying that I'm selling the house to one person and the diyuta halyona to somebody else?
If the question is on somebody else, what does he have to say for himself? It's okay.
The Rish Lakish is saying that the din is if he says I'm keeping the diyuta halyona for myself, then it means he keeps it. Yeah. But Rish Lakish didn't clarify, and therefore it leads us Amiroyim to ask the question, so what if he didn't say Shali? What if he's saying that I want to sell the house to one person and the Diyuta Halyona to somebody else? Does such a thing work? Or again, it's a similar question to the Dekel and the Peiros. Maybe once he said I'm selling the house to Reuven, that includes the whole house, Diyuta and all, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to now save the Diyuta for Shin.
Seems to be this way by implication.
But we don't know that.
We should know that because if you say Shali.
No, because Shali, fine, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the same din wouldn't apply to somebody else. Me have a shiur or loy. Is it considered that it's something that he left over or not? And actually, now the Rashbam says we're not necessarily talking about the question of whether the other person actually owns the diyuta. The question really is the Rashbam says is the person who he said owned the diyuta, who he says, Shimon, who he says now, I'm selling the diyuta to, does he have the ability to use it as a space for building ledges that will stick out over the chaser? If he's considered the valid owner of the diyuta, but the question is whether he has a space in the chaser or not. The question is whether he has ownership in the chaser or not. So then, so the question is not so much, again, whether the other guy owns the diyuta. Sure, he does. The question is, does he have the ability to use the diyuta for its payrus, which the payrus of a diyuta amounts to, the payrus amounts to, that you, the payrus amount to, that you're able to use zizin, that you're able to use that, that you're able to build on that wall, you're able to build ledges that stick out over the chaser that you can use to hang things away. Tos was actually earlier that's what we're asking. Tosfos actually discusses it earlier in the Masechta and says that that's not the question, because we're not even talking about whether the guy sold the chotzer or not. It would depend. Does the guy own anything in the chotzer or not? Or does he have the ability to make zizin over the chotzer? Tosfos rather says that no, what it means is like this. If he wants to, the question is, does the guy who has the diyuta, will he be able to put up zizin? Not so much the question insofar as the chotzer. The question is, he's making more of a burden on the lower parts of the wall. On the face of it, maybe the guy on the downstairs, on the ground floor, can argue you're putting more weight on the wall. It's more likely to make it collapse. Does he have the ability to say that, or does the guy who owns the diyuta hell yeah, say, "Tough, it's my area, and I'm entitled to make my zizin over here"?
The diyuta is the roof, and he's wondering if he can hang things.
If he can make ledges. So either according to the Rashbam, we mean, can he make ledges that will be over the airspace of the chaser? Does he have the ability to do that, or does the owner of the chaser have the right to prevent him? According to Tosfos, we're not dealing with the chaser. The question is, does the owner of the house? It's sold, like with the ground floor to Pliny and the diyuta to Reuven and the diyuta to Elyona to Shimon.
According to Tosfos,
the question is, can Shimon start building ledges out of sticking out of his diyuta where Reuven, the owner of the ground floor, can protest and say, but you're making more of a burden on the wall and it's more likely to collapse? Now, what do you think?
So everyone agrees that he was on top of
the Yeah, that is no question. So you could argue, again, like we did in the case of the tree, that yes, if you said the house goes to one person, the diyuta helyona goes to the other person, you would argue that that's not considered a shir. As soon as you said bias de la plenty, automatically it includes everything. So maybe fine. The other guy will have the right to live in the diyuta, but he won't have the right to exist in. Then you can ask, chutz mid diyuta mahu. What if he explicitly said, I'm selling the house minus the diyuta? Do we say that by saying that explicitly, he means to leave out something more that he otherwise would have included? Again, it's the same as the
possibility of putting
that we've now put zizi. So again, that's the same kind of thing as we talked about on Amud Aleph in the case of the tree, where if he says, I'm selling the tree to Reuven, chus from the peiros, which I'm selling to Shimon, maybe that's different. So now Rav Abba is telling Rav Ashi, this question, these series of questions that we had about the tree, we in our yeshiva learned it about the diyuta and the zizin. So, Amar,
you can apply that the answers from the tree to the diyuta, or that it works.
L'chura you could, but Rav Abba is just informing Rav Ashi, you guys learned it in connection with the tree, we learned it in connection with the house and the zizin, and we'll have to see, the pashtus we can't apply one to the other, but still, it's important for us to know where, in what connection a certain din and a certain series of questions and answers. Yes. Yeah. So then, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. So according to the second version, then Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, Im Tim Salama Bayis La'echad Yudyut La'echad Lo'y Habishir. You may argue and say that, yes, if you said I'm selling the house to one and Yudyut to the other one, that's not considered a shir, and therefore the guy upstairs is not going to be able to make his zizim. However, chutz mid yuta have a shir. However, if he says explicitly when he first sells the house, I'm selling it minus the yuta, that would be considered a shir.
And that it would imply he keeps the yuta for himself?
Meaning another, because that was the original case that Rish Lakish said, is if he says I'm keeping the yuta for myself, sure, then of course he has the yuta for himself with the right to zizin and all that. Yes. We're talking about here where he said, I'm selling that, he didn't just say I'm selling the house to Reuven and the yuta to Shimon. He said I'm selling the house minus the yuta to Reuven.
And I'm selling the diyuta to Shimon.
By saying the word minus the diyuta, chutz mid diyuta, he means to imply that it's right. the rights that come with the diyuta, namely the zizin, do not belong to Reuven. They're being excluded from Reuven.
If he doesn't say that, then
we could argue that indeed that he didn't mean to take them away from Reuven, and Reuven still has those rights and Shimon does not. Yeah.
Does that include rights to build above the diyuta?
No, that's a different. According to Tosfos, maybe, because it's still the same problem of burdening the wall. According to the Rashbam, maybe not, because it's not an issue of air rights in the chotzer. Anyway, Va'alibah de Rav Zvid. Now, all of this is according to Rav Zvid, that which we learned back when we were in Hamorchah Zabayis in the fourth parak, that we said when you, the Mishnah had said that when you sold a house that normally if you sell a house you don't sell the roof if it has a mica, if it has a guardrail around it, because it's considered a separate rishus unless you explicitly said that you're including it. We had back in the fourth parak, we had all kinds of dinim when you sell a house, what is and isn't included. I was away for this part, but whatever, you learned it. Right. So when you sell a house, the roof that has a mica is not automatically included because it's considered a reshus of its own.
And so then it'd be
still belongs to the original owner. However, Rav Zvid said over there that given that that's the case, if you say explicitly chutz midyuta, then it means it doesn't just mean you're not selling midyuta, you wouldn't be selling it anyway. It means you're coming to exclude something else that otherwise would have been included. Namely, the Amr that Rav Zvid says, it means that now by saying chutz midyuta, you're implying that you are reserving for yourself, or you're reserving for whoever else you sell midyuta to, the right to the zizin. Alma, given to shir diyuta, makam zizin nami shir, which goes to show, by saying explicitly, I'm leaving out the diyuta, you're also leaving out the ability to make zizin over there.
Well, that's different from what we
said. So that is the same as what we said, that by saying chutz midyuta, you... We had the same concept a week or two ago, where if you have something which is not what we had in connection with, where we said that when you sell a house, you don't sell a bird or goose in it, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't say, therefore you automatically you didn't keep yourself a path to it either, unless you said you didn't keep yourself a path to it either, because but if you explicitly said chutz mi bird or chutz mi goose, it means you did keep the path, because by saying the word chutz, by saying except for the bird or the doos, meant you meant to keep yourself something that you otherwise wouldn't have. This is a similar kind of thing over here. By saying chutz midyuta is something different than selling the house where the diyuta is not automatically included. The difference is the zizid. Hachanami, so the same thing over here when it comes to the tree. Kidim to omah chutz miperoisav, since if he said I'm selling the tree or I'm giving the tree, whatever, minus the payers, it means makam payrishir. It means indeed he's considered to have left over to himself or to whoever the place of the payers. And therefore that is valid. That is considered a shir. It is considered, therefore, that the tree only went to one person. The makam payris goes to the other person with whatever implications that that means as far as the dinim of matnas shriv mera or the dinim of mechira or what have you. Okay. Another din. Amar of Yosef Baman Yumi Amar of Nach. Shchivmerah shekosav kol nechosav la'achem. The shchivmerah writes away all of the nechosim to somebody else. So now, from our Mishnah, we knew that that's a valid matnas shchivmerah. But we said that the matnas shchivmerah is im amad chozer. If he recovers, he will be able to recover it all because we have the umdon. We have the assumption that he only did it because mitzvah matnas shchivmerah, because he knows he's about to die. Well. Ruyin, we have to consider the situation. It's not so simple. Im b'mechalik mes, if as dividing it he died, in other words, that he started saying this goes to Reuven, this goes to Shimon, and so forth, and you can see in the way he's saying it that when he started he had in mind to actually divide all of them. There's a different gear say, in fact, the Gershom has the gear of kimachalik that you can see from the way he's talking that he's doing it meaning to divide everything. Then, in the mechalik, mes konukulon, then when he dies, sure, all of them are kona, because that's a matnas shchivmerah. Omad chozibukulon. On the other hand, if he recovers, then he can take all of them back. Fine, that's the regular din of matnas shchivmerah. But the wrinkle is, im b'nimlach, but if on the other hand he's doing it in a way of like, of changing his mind, this is what we were talking about on the last one. So like, in other words, he starts giving out, Reuven should get such and such. And then he stops, you can see the wheels turning in his mind or whatever, and then he says that I want Shimon to get such and such. Well then, mes konu kolon. Sure, again, if he dies, all of them get it. Each of them is considered a matnas shimonah. But the key thing is, for our purpose, they're each considered a separate matana in that case. Not like the first case where it's considered one big matana. Here it would be considered a bunch of smaller matanas. Therefore, Omad ain't a choizer ala ba'achron. Therefore, if he recovers, he's only entitled to get the last of them back. So if he did like that, pausing in between, where you can see that he's thinking about what to do for each one, and he gave to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, so now he recovers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, but irrelevant. Only Yehuda is referable. Yeah.
And he said it in one go.
If he said it in one go, then it would be one. Then it would be. Then he could revoke everything. Right? Okay. So the question is, why should you say that? Maybe it all is. He's thinking to himself. The reason why he's thinking in between, it's not nimlach, like he changed his mind. He's just trying to think what he should give to each one. Maybe Taka originally, he had in mind to give this to Reuven, that to Shimon, that to Levi, that to Yehuda. But now, when he's going through it, he's trying to think to himself what he actually means to. Some of them approach him more say a little differently, that maybe he forgot what he starts saying what he said to Reuven, and then like he's trying to think, to recall what he meant to give to Shimon and so forth. Why should you say that it's considered separate matanos? The answer is stomach, the shchivmara made it diet for Hadar Yasir, because usually a shchivmara is going to be careful and then give. He's going to think about it ahead of time. Before they all start coming, he's going to have it worked out in his mind what he plans to give. He's not going to sit there. Therefore, it should be able to flow out. And if it doesn't, then we have to assume it's separate and autonomous.
The person that's coming out, it could be the mind's working, but they're weak, or it could be just made a sudden heart attack. And
right, well, that's when he said Nimrach over here, we see that he's pausing in a way like he's thinking over whether should I do this or not. Not if he's just pausing because like he can't breathe or whatever, that's different, yeah. Okay, another din. Amar Rav Acha bar Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Shchiv mina shekasev kol mechasev la'achirim. If a shchiv mina wrote out all of the mechasim are going to other people. Now, here the difference is that he wrote out all of the mechasim, but these are all the mechasim that we know about. There's the consideration he may have other nechasim in other places that we don't know about. Now that would make a big difference. If he has other nechasim, then like we said in the Mishnah, he left over some nechasim that he didn't give out. Therefore, the rest of them are considered valid matanis, irrevocable matanis, because he left himself something over.
If he left them out, they're considered matanis?
We said in the Mishnah that if he gave all of nechasim, then omad chozer, then if he recovers, he's able to get them all back. But if he gave out only some of his possessions and left something for himself, he left himself kauka kol shehu, then it's considered the equivalent of a matnas body, and he's not able to recover it, even if he recovers from his illness.
Right.
So now we're saying that he wrote all of nechasim, va'omad, and then he recovered, einei chozer. So Rav Nachman is saying he's not able to get them back. Because we have to be concerned that he might have nechasim in another place. Some of the Mephoroshim ask the question. I mean, so what? Because of that, maybe you're going to take away. Because of that, maybe you're going to take away all of nechasim from him. And they answer the reason is because what's the whole basis for saying im omad chozer anyway? On the face of it, when he gave out all of nechasim, he didn't say anything about I'm only doing it mitzvah machmas mitzvah. I'm only doing it because I'm about to die. Lechora, he did it as a matana. It should be irrevocable either way. What is the whole reason, we said at the beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, is because of umdana, because we evaluate that normally he would have only done it because he would have only given away everything if he doesn't expect to recover. Well, on the other hand, if we have reason to suspect that he may have nechasim in another Medina, that cancels out that umdana. Then you're back to the normal thing, that he said the matanas without making any conditions or anything on it, and therefore it should be irrevocable. But that's what we're saying.
Say, Matanah is another country, it's too difficult to...
No, but they still belong to him. But they still belong to him. He could still bestow them. He could still say I have property in another country and I'm giving it to Pliny, and Pliny will decide what he wants to do with it, whether he actually wants to move there or whether he just wants to sell it, whether he just wants to find a broker and sell it or whatever.
May not have time to do that.
No, but we're not talking about the Shchiv Mara himself doing it. We're saying the Shchiv Mara himself knows, let's say, that he has property elsewhere.
Right.
Or if we have reason to suspect that he does, he should be giving it out. And if he doesn't, Lechora, that means he's trying to keep that for himself. Yeah, whatever, so he will.
It's not so simple.
We're not talking about that he's literally at death's door. He's weak, he's in bed, but he still has the presence of mind to be able to do all this. We're fine. Anyway. So Chayshin and Shema Yeshla and Chosim and Din Acheres, we have to be concerned that he may have Nechosim in another country, and therefore that it is considered that he gave out only some of his Nechosim, and therefore is irrevocable. Okay, the question is, Elamas Nisim to Katani Leishi or Kauka Koshuin and Masakayamas. What about our Mishnah? It said that if he didn't leave over any Kauka, his Matana is valid. Ein Matana Sakayamas, his Matana is not valid, meaning, in other words, if he recovers, then he can get it all back. How are you going to find that? Wouldn't you always have the chash that he has the chasim in some other Medina? So Rabbi Chama says, you're right. The case in our Mishnah It would have to be where he said, I'm giving all of my nechassim. But then if he says all of my nechassim, then he didn't leave over anything. Then we could say that's considered a true matnas shchid merah, where if he recovers, he can get it all back. But if he didn't use the word tol nechassai, then it wouldn't work. The Rashbam brings also that Rabbi Hanan has a girsa, kol nechassai elu hein. All my nechassim are as follows, are the following. The Rashbam says I don't like that explanation, but there are some of the Rishonim, I think the Rambam, for example, Taka learned that way, that as long as he has to specify and say all these nechassim, the nechassim that I'm giving out, all these nechassim is all of my nechassim are the ones as follows, and he starts giving this to Reuven, this to Shimon, etc. Ma'abar Avashi says a different answer. The Mishnah could be talking about a case where we have a chazakah on him. We know by chazakah that he has no other nechassim besides the ones that he said. Different Rishonim talk about the question, and it's actually machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. When we say what we have a chazakah, what do we mean? Do we mean that we need to have actual edim to that effect? Do we mean that just we know, for example, that he never visited this other country and therefore pastures, he doesn't own any nechassim there? Etc. These days, of course, a person could have never visited a country and still have nechassim. They were talking about in those days, the person generally would only own nechassim in another country if he or at least somebody who he inherited from had ever been there. Yeah.
Also, like, make it.
Yeah. Okay. So b'muchzak l'ndelesle, if there's a chazakah that he doesn't have any nechassim in someplace else, then we can take it as a given that whatever, even if he didn't say kol nechassim, or whatever, then it's a given that what he said means all of the nechassim, because we can assume he doesn't have any nechassim in Medina Sayyam. But if there's any reason to suspect that he has nechassim in Medina Sayyam, then we would apply Rav Nachman's din, that in that case we would say that his matanis are taka irrevocable, because he left over something from him.
How would the talcum play in this?
So the top one, actually, we're going to talk about tomorrow. The Mishnah had said that only if he left himself karka kol shahu, but we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow about the Shem that actually we'll talk about that also if he left over the talpa for himself, then it's also him. Okay. Another question. Chazara b'mikzas havi chazara b'kula oiloi. What if he changed his mind on part of it? So let's say, for example, he said, I'm giving all my nechassim to plain. Then he decided, you know what, instead I want to give some of it instead to Shimon. Now, that he's able to take some of it and give that to Shimon, that he's able to do. We learned in the previous Perek, Diatiki Novatelos Diatiki, that one will is able to cancel a previous one. But the question is, do we say, therefore, that... Do we say, therefore, that it means he really regrets giving everything to? He regrets everything that he gave to Reuven. He actually doesn't want to give anything to Reuven after all. So he's giving some of it to Shimon, and he means to keep the rest for himself. Which means, therefore, when he eventually dies, his Yoshim will be able to take away whatever Reuven has, or maybe not. Maybe just whatever he gave to Shimon goes to Shimon. Whatever else still remains by Reuven. And then it'll also mean, of course, he didn't leave himself anything, so therefore he would be able to get it all back if he himself recovered. Chazara b'miktas have a chazara b'kula oila. Toshma, come, we'll see it. It says in a braisa, kulan l'rishon miktas on the sheni. If a person says that I'm giving all of my nechassim to the first person and some of it to a second person, meaning, in other words, he changed his mind on part of it, exactly the case that we're talking about. Sheni kana rishon l'kana. We say the second one is Koiner, the Shimon. The first one, Reuven, is not Koiner. My love, the Shemes. Now, the Chora, that's what we're talking about. That eventually the Shchiv Merab died. So we see that, in other words, yes, we say that Reuven is not Koiner anything at all. He really meant to retract the entire thing, everything that he gave to Reuven, and give only a little bit of it to Shimon and keep the rest for himself, for his Yoshim. So therefore, that would answer the question. The answer is Loi B'Sha'amad. No, you could answer that the Braita is talking about where he recovered. So therefore, the second person is able to keep what he had because the matana b'miktas, and only a matana of everything that the shchiv merah holds is revocable when he recovers. This was a matana b'miktas to the second guy. So therefore he's not able to get that. Yeah, after he recovered, he himself, the shchiv merah recovered. He's not able to get back from Shimon because it was only a matana b'miktas. But the one to the first one, he originally gave him everything. That would have been a matana b'kol, and therefore that's a matna shchiv merah, which is revocable. The Gemara says, "Hachinami mistaber." Yeah, it seems logical to understand it that way. that it is talking about where he recovered. Mitkatani Sefer, because the next part of the Braisa continues. Miksosim Larishim Vakolim Losheni, what if it was the other way around? He gave some of his Nechosim to Ruvain, and then he said, I'm giving all of them to Shimon. Rishin Kona, Sheni Lekona. Then we say it's the other way around. The first one, Ruvain, is Kona, his Mitzvah. The second one, Shimon, is not. So, if you're saying that it's talking about where he recovered, fine, and that explains why the second one is not Kona, because, again, it was a matana bakula, and matana bakula from a shchiv merah is revocable. Eli, Amit Rishemes, but if you're saying that it's talking about that he died, Tavai Olichnu, each of them should be Kona, Ruvain his portion, Shimon the rest. So obviously the Braisa must be talking about a case where we're talking about a case that Sha'ama, that he recovered. Fine, but even if you're going to explain the Braisa, it's talking about that he recovered. Fine, if you're going to say that retracting on part of the Matana is equivalent to retracting in all of it, meaning he doesn't want the first person to get any of it after all, fine.
Never mind, recovered.
Yeah, even if he recovered. But if we're saying that when he says to the second one, when the second one thing overlaps with the first one, we're saying that he means to undo the first one altogether. Fine, if you say that, Hainu Dushani, Miyas Kana, then fine, then you can understand at least why the second one is Kana, because the first one he gave a mixtus, but then he's undoing that and giving the kula to the second one. So then the second one is able.
He gave the kula to the first one, I think.
Well, actually, no. In the first part of the Braisa that we quoted, where we said Sheni Kana Rishon Lekana, where we said Kulan Larishon and Miksasim Lasheni, because again, then we say that he meant to undo the Kulan Larishon and only give them Miksasim Lasheni. Fine. So if you say that works, because it means Chazara Bakula, it means that he retracted the whole gift to Reuven. Reuven gets nothing. Fine. Then in that case, that explains why the second one is Kana. But if you're going to say that retracting some of it is not considered retracting all of it, it's still considered that whatever he did not give to Shimon is still left in the hands of Reuven, then it should be considered the equivalent of dividing it, partly to one, partly to the other. And neither one of them should be koine, because if we're saying he gave away everything to both of them, then that's it. He left over nothing for himself. Omad choyzer. So neither of them should be koina. Why would the price be telling us that the sheni is koina and the first one is not? So we can't be talking about shalman. The hilchas of chazara b'mechtes havi chazara b'kula. Nevertheless, the halacha is that yes, retracting part of a gift is the equivalent of retracting all of it. Meaning, if he said all of it to Reuven, and then he said some of it to Shimon, it means he's undoing everything that he gave to Reuven. Reuven gets nothing. Shimon gets whatever mitzvah he said he's going to get. So the first part of the Braisa where we said the second one is Kona, that could apply regardless whether he died or whether he recovered. Either way, Shimon is entitled to his Mistis Nechasim. Whereas the Sefer can only be understood if he recovered, because only in that case where he gave a mixtus to the first one and kula to the second one, only when he recovered, could he say the first one is koine his mixtus, because it was a matnas shimmer of a mixtus, which is koine irrevocably. And the second one doesn't get it because omad, because he recovered, and therefore he gets it all back.